is also important. And therefore, my topic this afternoon is titled, A Father's Responsibility, the Uncompromising Service of the Father, based from Genesis 18, and I'll be reading from verse 16 to 19. I'll ask Brother Lucas to read for me Genesis 18, verse 16 to 19.
Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him."
Amen. I'm going to focus on verse 19 only for the next 30 minutes. It is interesting because if you think about the Father's Day, do you know how the Father's Day started? And whose initiative this was? An idea? Father's Day was women's initiative. A woman by the name Senola Smart Dodd of Washington, Seattle, one Sunday was listening, this was 1909, he was listening to Mother's Day sermon that was preached at Central Methodist Episcopal Church in Seattle, Washington. And this woman, because the Mother's Day came first, as you know, women are always first, and the guys are always lagging behind. So I guess this has continued. So as this woman was listening to this message, she thought, wouldn't it be nice also to have a tribute to my father who had contributed so much to my life? And as much as she loved her mother, she wanted to have a special day dedicated to her father. And June 19, 1910, this lady, Senora Smart, officially convinced the pastor of the same church where she was attending to preach the sermon about the fathers. And therefore, the first sermon from the church point of view was delivered from the Central Methodist Episcopal Church. There was a woman who came after that, a very progressive reformer by the Jane Addams in 1911. And he said this, "Poor father has been left out in the cold. He doesn't get much recognition. It would be a good thing if he had a day that would mean recognition of him." It is amazing that in this 1911, he could not even imagine what the media today in the 21st century will be doing to men. Damaging and really portraying men as useless in this society. That's how the media portrays men in this society. That is why we are losing boys in this society. Because whatever we see in the media, over woman is perfect, over boy is useless. And we must change this trend. Otherwise, we will continue. 1911, this woman never thought about this, that what would be happening in the 21st century. In 1966, as a result of these two women pushing and pushing, one of the congresswoman from Massachusetts wrote a bill and persuaded the Congress right here in Washington, D.C. to declare a Father's Day just as it was a Mother's Day. In 1966, President Lyndon Johnson issued a proclamation for the first time to honor fathers. And 6 years later, President Richard Nixon signed it into a bill in 1972 to honor fathers. That's how it started. Women, they're very special. If it were not for them, had we gone on Father's Day, Leo, we would have been forgotten people. Generally, moms are primary caregivers. They are great ladies. And they are probably more demonstrative of their love than men. In my generation, when I was growing, I have never heard my dad tell me that I love you. I've never seen, my daddy was always a man in authority. He comes, he gets the best part of the chicken. When we happen to kill that chicken in the Geshagi, should get this piece and we'll get the gigo. My dad was a person who worked with authority all the time, and when he popped in from that gate, we knew the man of the house had arrived. That is the kind of man we knew. And this man had a lot of love, but we didn't know, because it was not demonstrative as it was in a woman's life. But we also knew this, that my mother made sure that my father held the authority. Because my mother would always say, you wait, your daddy will come, you'll be in trouble. And that was a message. And let me tell you, once we hear my dad is coming, I would shape up. And everybody else in the house would be shaping up, because the man in authority is coming. So the woman of the time also recognized this man as a leader. Today, we'll talk about that. Over the years, the media has portrayed fathers as not too bright, lazy, and uses poor judgment, and then lies to cover their mistakes. And mom remains a parent with common sense and with exceptions as far as the media is concerned. And what is that doing to our men? It is just killing the roots. It's a cancer that comes eating our men slowly by slowly, killing confidence slowly by slowly, and eventually we have no men. That's not the God's design way of a family institution. 56 years ago, a young man was born in this little town of Thika. Those who come from that area of the central province, they know it. And this little young man was born out of wedlock, just around the struggles of independence. The man, little man, was born out of wedlock. And at the time and the circumstance of the country, we don't know the history, whether that man was the result of rape from the colonial government, from the Indians who were building the railway, or from the Mikoras. Nobody knows about that young man's history. But that man grew up in that area just with the mother for about 2 years. And then the mother was imprisoned by the colonial government, and the man was left under the leadership or under the care of the grandmother. The grandmother took care of this man for another 6 years, and then the grandmother, just 2 years before the independence, was also imprisoned, and the man was taken care by one of the daughters. In other words, the aunt. And the aunt who mistreated this boy never fed this boy, never gave any food. The boy eventually ended up in the streets of Nairobi, Kahawa area. And this man struggled at the age of 9 and 10 years to feed from the trash of the restaurants of that area. Somehow, this man, the aunt decided to relocate and went to the Nyandarua area in around 1964, right after independence, and settled in the Kinangop area. The boy continued to suffer. The records tell us that this boy for 8 months never took shower. The records dictate this man slept on the kitchen floor for 8 months. And the young man, as young as he was taking care of the animals in the field, carrying a toddler, a young baby of this aunt in his back. And you can just imagine a 10-year-old doing all this, taking care of the animals and the baby at the back, and you know, without going. Somehow, miraculously, the mother came out of prison, and the mother got remarried. And when she got remarried, they were relocated to another area. For God's provision, the mother, who is very influential and very strong, mothers are very wonderful people, and they are strong. They still carry the burden. Even if she is married, she still remembers she had a son somewhere. And so she wanted to talk about, she talked about with the new husband about the son and everything else. And the husband said, and why don't we have this man with us today? And I don't know what happened the rest of the story, but the records continue to say, this man made a trip all the way to Kinagop by himself to look for a man, a young kid that he did not know. But he knew where the kid was. And he came, the man introduced himself, and the man said who he was, and the man said he wanted to carry that young man back with him, and because it's part of his family. Love of a man. I'm not talking about love of a father. Love of a man who did not bear that young man. The young man who was so extremely dirty, tattered clothes, by the loving hand of the father, was held, and they both took a matatu all the way to Nyandarua, the other part of the Nyandarua. When the grandmother saw that young man, the grandmother cried ceaselessly because this is not the boy he knew. When the mother saw the boy, she became speechless at the joy of reuniting with the son. But there's one thing that happened. The grandmother was so furious, knowing that she had trusted her own daughter to take care of the son, and she failed to do so. The man said, it's okay. I'll clean him, I'll take care of him, and he'll be my son. 56 years later, the man standing in front of you is him. It becomes emotional when I talk about this, because I talk about the love of a father with a sense of responsibility and with a sense of service even to a son that he didn't bear. A man who dedicated his life to give me the most he could afford a Form 4 education and a 2-year college. And a man standing before you, now the director of the graduate studies. And I'm saying this because I want you to be with me and to understand really what our role, because the impact that man left in me, or he has still, my father is still alive, the impact that he has left in me, it has continued. And if there are tears that I cry, 99% is when I sit around my own children and we talk stories, we interact, we laugh, and I hear these good words. And because I'm so emotional, even today at the lunchtime, I was still crying on the desk at the restaurant. Because I'm touched. I didn't know what love is of a father until he came. And I wanted my children to have that love of a father. And I wanted to be a man that they can look back and say, they have a dad. When we are struggling with a green card, and the process, as many of you know, it is not an easy process to get these papers. One day, not sure what we are going to do, and we are wondering and going for immigration. And we sat, and I prepared my children. We're going to be going for interview today. Some things were not right. I was telling them to do things that probably they could not make any sense to them. At the same time, they could mess up our interview. My daughter, who were big at the time, they were 10, 12 years old, they wrote a little card, No, they were, no. Yeah, they were just in the middle, around 12, 13 years old. They wrote a card, and I took that little card, and I went to the bathroom. I opened the card and said this, "Dad, even if we don't go through, you are still a hero. Even if we don't go through this interview, you are still a hero." I cried in that bathroom, and I cried, and I cried, and I left. And we went down for the interview, and guess what? They were not called. I was the only person called to be interviewed with my lawyer, and that's it. And in 2 minutes, all the passports were stamped. And we left that place. Can your children call you a dad? Can they say, "Dad, you have left a legacy"? Can you say that about your dad? Can you say that about your dad? This is not just about dads. Even the young men that we have here, is important to hear this, because we want to prepare you to be tomorrow's dad, as my sister said as we are praying for you here. You are the man we are looking to be tomorrow's dad. And not to address you about the value of being a dad when you are preparing to be a dad, then is not right. We may have failed. I have failed in many instances. I'm not the perfect dad, but God has humbled me all the time to say, "I'm sorry," to my own children. My phone is full of text messages all the time coming from my children. Anytime, and put me into tears, because that is the answer to my prayers. And the same I say to my dad, who is now 10,000 miles away, that he's a hero. Allow me to share only 4 or 6 points that are very important of what you know, and just a reminder of what you should remember to do. Being a father, number one, remember the topic, uncompromising service of the Father. It's not just a name. Service. It's not just walking to that door with authority. The reason why my dad was walking in that door and everybody recognized is because he provided. He created in us a sense of knowledge that he provides for all of us. But how he did not even demand the authority position. And how many of us, we try to demand the authority from my own children, from my own wife, to be recognized as a man of the house? I don't need to demand. I need to demonstrate. And it needs to come from inside, that when I walk, they'll see, this is dad. This is my husband, who walks with authority and who is in charge, because God has ordained me in that position. Nobody gave me that position. God ordained us. And point number one is, being a father is never an accident. It is always an appointed position by God. Verse 19 says this, "For I have chosen him." The Bible talks about Abraham as a father. And the Bible records clearly, "For I have chosen him." Every child who is here and every child we have is a gift that God has given us as a result of a father and a mother in that relationship. It's not a choice for him or her, but it is God appointed to have that child. You may be sitting here as a young man or a young adult, thinking to yourself that me and my dad, we don't get along very too well, as we are talking about you. You got to remember, whether you get along well or you don't get along well, That man is your dad, and God has appointed him to be in that position. And you have to respect him as a dad. Failing to do so, you have failed to do your part. Our parents can be very stubborn as they grow old. If yours are not, I can tell you because I live with that. I talk to them all the time. I was speaking to my mom as I was coming. But our parents, as they age, they can be difficult to deal with. And you start wondering, is this really the same person? The bottom line is this. He is still my father, and he is still in charge, and he deserves the respect from me as a son. Whether he is right or whether he is wrong, he deserves a respect from me. Because God appointed him to be my dad. God appointed him to be my dad. I may not know much, but if you talk to pastors who are seriously appointed to be ministers of God, and they are given that responsibility to take care of the church, they know what that means, that call, because it's a sacrificial call to serve in the church. There is no other ministry, no other church can be better than the church at home. You cannot be a pastor, and if you are, and your home is failing, you are a half-baked pastor. Because the first church is home. And if I'm going to be a man and walking out and preaching throughout the gospel to everywhere in the world, and my home is failing, I have failed the first ministry in Jerusalem. The Bible says you start in Jerusalem before we go to Judea and Galilee. We must start at home. When people talk about my wife, I say she's the first deaconess in my, she's a woman's guild, she's a minister of my house, she takes care of that house. And now she can go out and do the rest. But if home, Lucas, is failing, if I come and don't find smile from those little girls and that boy, I will not listen to any other ministry. Because the ministry number one, men, is home. Is our first Jerusalem. Remember, we have been given that responsibility. We have been appointed. And if we have been appointed, we must take that appointment seriously. Because it's God-given divine authority for me to be a dad to my children and to be a husband to my wife. We cannot take anything less. Nothing less on that. Number two, a dad job is just beginning after the baby is born, because it is the dad who gives direction to the child's life, not mom. Moms are great, but you have to understand what I said, that moms psychologically they are created to nurture what men cannot do. They are created to nurture. If you look at the simple examples of boys and girls in school, how do the boys carry books in school? How do the boys carry books in the school? Remember? Is that right? What about the girls? Watch the kids in school. Watch the girls. They go always, they go like this. It comes automatically because they are created to nurture. And men to lead with authority. When that boy is walking with the books like that, that boy unconsciously is walking with authority of a kind. It is psychological. It doesn't require much of the research, guys. No, it's just looking at the things the way they are doing. Now, we, the fathers, we have a responsibility to give direction. Do you wonder why we have a bunch of directionless children today? Children who have no directions. They do not know what they want to do to school. They do not know what they want to do about tomorrow. They have no idea about the next. They're completely out, disconnected from the father. It is not the child's fault. Why do we today having these young kids, our Kenyan young people, young children, young men, we are losing them. That will be my topic at the conference next time, in 2 weeks' time. Parent challenges that have been faced by the parents in the 21st century and the implication they have on our parenting is a national crisis for our young men. And if you don't see it, it is affecting our Kenyan young men. What are we doing wrong? Sometimes there's a tendency of we pointing fingers all the time to children. But the question still remains. How many are they pointing to myself? Did I do? What did I do? I always ask my son. Just last week we were talking. Something he was doing. I said, what did I do wrong? Because I want to know. And then he would tell me, no, it's me who did wrong. The question is, there's a tendency to point our children all the time when they're making mistakes. But there is no time for you to reflect on the way you have been conducting your business that God has entrusted you. The office of leadership as a father. There is no one, even as much as we, our mothers are great, men are the ones that God has appointed to give directions to our children. Look at verse 19. So that he will direct his children. That's what the Bible says. So that he will direct his children. Family needs authority figure. You cannot minimize this. They need authority figure. The lack of such figure can be seen in today's society. Suicide, drug abuse, alcoholism, sexual promiscuity, and an epidemic among many other problems. They are affecting our children because they have no direction. Just today, for lunch, my girls were asking, now they are mothers, now they are married, and they were asking, Grace, we didn't do a lot of parties and a lot of when we were teenagers and a lot of things that the teenagers are doing today. Why? And I said, I don't know. And they were questioning themselves as we are talking about this. And then said, I guess there's different personalities. And this discussion came because my wife and the girls are going to Georgia on the weekend at Gigi's church to speak about mother-daughter relationship. And when you listen to that, you wonder, why do our children lack direction? Fathers are to be worthy and accept the responsibility that the reason why most of our children are missing direction, number one, we are too busy, parents, fathers, we are too busy going doubles that we have no time to interact with our children. So we will never know how they think and what they think because I have no time to listen to them. We are too busy looking and hanging out with other men and forgetting I have another responsibility at home. The fault lies with dads. Because it is dad who gives direction to a child's life. The mother gives the sense of security and nurturing. And the mother is doing her job. It is even worse when the mother is going double and the father is going double. Hakuna family imekwisha. Say goodbye to your family. You go double and your husband going double and children are now left with the media the TV to raise your children. And the only way we can keep children busy is to give them all the electronic stuff so that you can socialize and forget about children. And we lose what we call emotional connection with our children. And when we lose that emotional intelligence, it doesn't matter how much IQ they have, because IQ is equal to EQ, emotional intelligence. Any child cannot connect with you, dad, emotionally. You are missing a point. You have lost your control. How do you tell this? If you are going with Jockey, and Jockey makes a mistake, and you call her, and tell Jockey, you know what? This is not right. And Jockey looks at you and say, so what? So what? Or if she doesn't talk to you, they have a new language. That's a new language. But if you call Jockey and say, Jockey, this was wrong, Jockey will start trembling with fear and wondering and really worried that don't know what's going to happen. Not because of the consequences alone, but because now there is something that is connecting called emotions. Any child does not connect emotionally with their father, with their mother, that child is gone. It's gone. And if you don't connect with your parents also, that you can go for 2 months even without checking on your parents in Kenya, that connection is gone. We must need reformation because we cannot allow this to happen. We are losing our children. We cannot. Remember what the Bible says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Yes, if you are home. If you happen to be home. And when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, the kids can see you all the time. That's what basically it's saying. That scripture is talking that your presence in the house, dad, is evident all the time. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's what the Bible says. How can we do that, dads, if we are not home? How can we do that? What about single parents? What are you going to do? I'm talking about dads, and we have single parents who are raising children by themselves. What are you going to do? I remember last time I talked about that, but I'm not going to talk again today. We need a time to talk about what can we do as a church, as a fellowship, to support the single parents so that the boys they are raising, they can see a father model from the men of God that God has appointed to be dads. The man who raised me biologically is not my dad. No. God can choose you to take one of the single parents' son and mentor him, and he can become a man that God wants. 3. A dad leads his household by modeling, not yelling. Verse 19 says this, and his household after him. The household will follow after him. How often do we have the standards set by the father? These standards are for my wife. These standards are for my children. And therefore, I am out of that equation. If I say we are not going to eat in the living room, that is the standard for all of us. Not dad eating in the living room, and then the children are eating in the kitchen. Ishidwe. That is a double standard. If you are going to smoke, then send your child to buy cigarettes. It's okay. Murder. It should appear. We don't want that kind of message. Why would you send your child to buy you liquor and you tell him not to drink that liquor? Does it make any sense? Not in my world. And why do you send your children to buy you cigarettes because they are 20 or 21 and you tell them don't smoke? Double standard. The Bible records clearly in verse 19 that let this household follow after you. Notice the scripture, what it says. God is telling us that he wants dad who will model the right standard, the right behavior. Number 4. It is the dad who demonstrates or who determines the spiritual temperature of the home. In other words, dad is called to be a priest, as my sister said. He's called to be a priest. If you go home and you find it is lukewarm, you cannot smell Christ, it's not mom's fault. It is dad's fault. If only you know how women think, you guys. If only you know. Give me 20 minutes, one of these days, and I'll tell you the psychology of a woman and the psychology of a man, how they think. These ladies, to please them, it takes only 2 seconds. To change the temperature of the house, and the girl in that house will be singing and dancing about you. But men are so stupid that sometimes we don't think. We really don't think. And coming with the sugar, and coming with the goo, and with everything, and doing everything for the kids is not enough. A woman requires more. And those girls are women that also raising in that house. If you understand how to deal with these two emotions of their own psychological communication and function of their brain, let me tell you, oh, how utapata vita kwa nyumba? Nakwambia ukweli, you never fight. You have failed to understand how that woman thinks. Fanya makosa. Utasikia hiyo makosa for the next life of your life until you die. Ni DVD. Kila wakati itapigwa. You make the mind of a woman, it burns information like a DVD. It doesn't erase. Well, unasahau, but the woman will never forget. You make a mistake today, she will remind you of 20 years' mistakes and connect them to today. And you try to remember what did that happen. Here, if I think I'm in Germany, I don't even remember. I don't even know the suit I wore last Sunday. But my wife will remember. Do you know who gave you that shirt? That would be the Mr. Chairman, that will be the topic of the next time. How the psychology of a man and a woman differ. And that will change. Number 5. A great dad is a person who has... did I say number 5? Okay. A great dad is the one who follows God's building blocks of blessings. In other words, a man who blesses his children all the time. Verse 19 says this, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised. If you look at verse 18, it talks about the promise that God will bless his children. So a dad is the one who takes responsibility to bless his children. How many times do you take your children, hold, and bless your child? And you are wondering why we are losing kids? Because we are not blessing them. We are not available. We are not there. You cannot bless if you are not there. We need to be there to bless them. We need to be there. I want you to ask 2 questions today. Do you see your father as a blessing to you? If not, we need to pray for our dads. Just as we said, the prayer was very good for men. There are men that we want them here. We cannot ignore that fact. We need to pray for them. And you, dad, do you see yourself as a father who is a blessing to your child? If not, then you need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for yourself. A father is the one who hears that child, service, service, service. A father is the one who hears that child crying on the other room and wake up in the middle of the night and take care of that baby. Service. A father is the one who sees his wife suffering and inquiring and finding out what happened today, sweetheart. A father is the one who wants to take time to attend every single game or 99% of the games of the child and see what that child is doing. A father is this one who can sit down with your children and do homework together. As you do those things, going to the park, you build emotional attachment. What did we do wrong? Can we change our position? We are appointed to be priests. We must take it seriously. We are appointed to be temperature controllers of our homes. We must take it, seriously. We must be called. We have been called to provide. This is the service of our Father. May the Lord help us to be faithful to his work and to our position. God bless you.